First today, want to learn how to create buttercream sculptures, trying to keep up with the latest culinary trends, or maybe you just need to hang out in the chocolate lounge for a while? Well, you are in the right place. The American Culinary Federation came to town yesterday for its national convention, which runs through Tuesday, and it's open to the public. Taking some time out from a very packed convention schedule to talk with us today are Tom Macrina. He's national president of the ACF. And Tom, welcome to Kansas City. So good
to
have you.
Thank you.
Mark Webster is also here. He's president of the ACF from the Greater Kansas City Chefs Association. And Mark, nice to have you too.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Well, Tom, I imagine the ACF convention has to be popular in whatever city it's held. But what was so appealing about having it here in Kansas City?
We came here a few years ago for a regional conference, which is a little bit smaller. And everyone had such a great time, we had to come back.
Yeah. Couldn't stay away.
Couldn't stay away.
That's the attitude we want to hear here.
Okay.
And I should point out for our listeners that you're both wearing your very bright, shiny chef smocks here in the studio with us today, right?
Yes, we are.
You wear them everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's sort of a marketing tool.
It's definitely a marketing tool. It lets us know what we do, lets people know what we do for a living.
Oh, that's great. And Mark, what happens at an American Culinary Federation convention? And am I safe in assuming that it involves a whole lot of eating and some very critical tasting?
It does, but it's also great to meet with colleagues from around the nation. I mean, we all share a common profession, but it's not just a profession. It's a love of food and love of the people we serve. So,
what do you talk about? I can't get good radishes these days? Or what's the topic of conversation?
Well, you know, we talk about everything. We go back to Escoffier, who's, you know, well-known French chef. We talk about what's happening at different restaurants, molecular gastronomy. We talk about everything. Everything that's on the plate, literally on the plate, we talk about.
You know, Tom, you know, are there trends in the culinary business that you guys kick around, and what would they be in 2014?
Yes, there's lots of trends that we kick around, actually. And some trends are here to stay, and some, you know, are flyby.
Yeah.
But the biggest trend right now is sustainable food, and that's actually the subject of our conventions, our theme of our convention, and it's very important for the future of food.
Meaning there are concerns about the quality of food, quality of fresh food that you guys can get your hands on these days?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the future.
Yeah.
Not just these days, in the future. You know, seafood, homegrown, you know, food. Mostly everyone is going into the local markets today to get their produce because they know where it's from. They know how it's grown. They know what chemicals are used in the dirt, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to do that so we have food for everybody, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now.
I was going to say, how concerned are you about what might be happening 20, 30, 40 years down the road in terms of you hear so much about seafood and the available supplies and the oceans being, you know, fish dry and everything like that? What about all that?
Yes, that's exactly what we here, our American Culinary Federation is part of a global foundation called Feed the Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our initiatives is the seafood, is the fishing and the sustainability of that farm raising of the fish to see how that works. Actually, Rick Moonen from Las Vegas is one of our speakers. He owns a restaurant called Trash Fish. And pretty much what they do, they get all the fish that comes in the nest and not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the time, they just throw them away back in the ocean and waste them. But there's a million things you can do with them. So we're learning how to use this fish to feed people.
You know, Mark, is there one type of food that you're most concerned about? It's sustainability going out on the calendar 10, 20 years?
You know, it's all food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were talking about seafood, and that's a great point. For years, a lot of restaurants, and not just restaurants, but the home cook, we just – too much orange roughy, too much sea bass. And so we've looked at the fish in a way – we want them to be around forever,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be responsible on how we do it. And just like Chef McCrone has pointed out – we have restaurants that's all they do. They look at ways to use fish that normally we just don't know. We've never used before.
Mm-hmm. How concerned are you about availability of fish, again, 20 years down the road? Is that the big worry among chefs?
It's not just fish. It's everything. It's the way we produce crops. Fish are very important because even though it seems like it's an abundant, you know, crop, I mean, with oceans all around the world, but, you know, not all the countries are as focused as we are here in the United States when it comes to sustainability when it comes to catching the fish properly. We don't just throw a net out and whatever we bring on board we use. I mean, we're pretty specific.
You know, Tom, is sustainability in terms of the food supply going forward, is it at a crisis stage in your mind, or is it just a concern as you look at what's coming down the road?
I'm not going to say it's a crisis stage yet. Mm-hmm. But the issue is, one of the issues is, you know, today everybody's on a gluten-free diet. They're allergic to gluten. And quite a few years ago, you know, in the 50s, they used nitrogen and they did things and blew up places and practiced all that stuff. So I guess they needed something else to do with that. And when they did it, they found that it makes things grow faster. So let's take wheat, for example. We fool Mother Nature. We no longer keep a crop area blank for a year. You don't rotate your crops. You don't have to, because putting stuff in the soil allows you to grow it every year and grow it better and bigger. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, we're catching up with that, and that's why you're seeing a lot of food allergies that we haven't seen before.
You know, Mark, given all the changes in way mankind, humankind has tried to jumpstart food production, does food taste as good today as it did 20 years ago?
I say it does.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear some people question that?
Well, one thing, my belief on this is I believe it does. It's what you do with the food, how you treat the food. It's, I mean, you can make a salad out of anything, and it's how you put it together. Just because you have the ingredients, if you don't know the recipe, if you don't know the procedure, it's not going to turn out the same way. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to go back and say 20 years ago food tasted better, because literally I can't remember what food tasted like 20 years ago.
But still, you hear people, Tom, raise that point. What do you think?
I mean, 20 years ago, I'm sure my taste buds have changed.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you go it that way, if it's something my mother made when I was a child, that tasted better than someone else does now.
Yeah.
But as for an apple or an orange or something like that, I think it tastes the same.
Yeah. Well, Mark, as the host chapter, I'm guessing that setting this up is more work than your average convention. What are some of the unique challenges when planning a multi-day event that revolves around food and, you know, the preparation of food?
It's just literally this without a great support team, members of our chapter and outside people locally, it would be almost impossible to do, because it took so many people to get it to go. We have actually a barbecue contest taking place right now, and it's without our staff, without the support staff to help us get it to this point. We have a lot of culinarians. We have a lot of volunteers. We have students that are student culinarians that, you know, they haven't really – they may not have the knowledge yet that they're going to get by going to school. But they're here to support us as volunteers.
So really, the challenge for you has been what? To set up a bunch of kitchens where some of your conventioneers can ply their trade, or what are you doing?
Well, we work with the American Culinary Federation, with the national office. We have competitions that are going to be taking place. We're using local culinary schools today. Our Team USA, the National Culinary Team USA, they're in town. And they're actually working at a school in Overland Park at Broadmoor Tech. They're working out there today. Huh. So we have other schools that we're using. We're going to use Bartle Hall for the culinary competitions. We're going to be all over the place.
We're talking this morning about the American Culinary Federation. They're holding a national convention here in Kansas City. Tom, how many members does the federation have these days nationwide?
Nationwide, we have over 20,000 members.
Is that number higher than 5 years ago?
Yes, it is higher than five years ago.
And so it's going up.
It's going up. It's going up.
Why is it going up?
It's because people are more interested in cooking, and the chefs that are out there, the customers, are more demanding than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because they watch television.
They know what they know.
They know what they want. And sometimes, you know, what you see on television, you really can't get, because it would cost you a fortune. But, you know, they know what they want. They learned about food. They at least know something more about food. So, you know, you come to the American Culinary Federation, you come to one of these conventions, you're going to learn what the trends are. You're going to learn what people want, what people like. So
the TV shows on cooking have ratcheted up the expectation quotient here a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And especially there's movies out now. I mean, there was one that came out. It was Chef.
Chef.
Yeah, and there's another one coming out from Disney. And there's another one coming out with Oprah. So it's really getting, you know, big.
Yeah. And we talked a minute ago, Mark, about, you know, the different trends in food prep and the whole sustainability idea. How about in terms of food preparation itself? What's going on with that these days compared to a few years ago?
Well, you know, they've always looked at sanitation and the way we handle food, but it's becoming more of a – I mean, like Tom pointed out, people that go to a restaurant, they expect the chef in the back to keep a clean kitchen. To, you know, the whole staff needs to be schooled on how to handle food properly, how to refrigerate food, how to bring it back up to temperature. And they look at that now. I remember years ago where people, they would think as long as they put it in the microwave, it was going to kill all the germs and all that. But that's not really the case.
Yeah.
And so they look at us in the kitchen as being professionals, and that's what we do. I mean, we train our staffs. Nobody wants to get sick.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that you have, you know, when you come to one of our restaurants, country club, whatever the case may be, that you have a meal that it's a delightful time. It's an experience. It's not just a meal.
Yeah.
And a lot of sanitation is behind that.
You know, Tom, I'm looking at the presenters list here, and it dawned on me that not all the professionals here in town this week are restaurant chefs. What other businesses need the expertise of a trained chef?
All the businesses do. I mean, we have hotel chefs.
Yeah.
Nursing homes. Hmm. They're really getting very, very popular. Schools, school cafeterias, colleges.
And you have folks attending the convention from
all those facilities. All those areas. All those areas. We also have people attending that are front of the house beverage people, mm-hmm. bartenders. Because in bartending now, you don't only mixed drinks, you add different herbs and spices with that. That's one of the hottest trends also.
Huh. Mark, can I talk about the Chocolate Lounge? Because our listeners are going to want to hear about the Chocolate Lounge. First of all, what is it and how can I get to it?
Well, the Chocolate Lounge it's just about heaven on earth. You know, once you get into the Chocolate Lounge, you do not want to leave.
Where is it?
I wish I knew exactly what room it was going to be in. It'll be at the hotel.
Which hotel?
We're at the downtown Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, mm-hmm. I mean, once people go in there, it's hard to actually get them out of the lounge.
Really? I'm shocked.
I don't know why either, but it's incredible. And they'll always have a chef in there or a pastry chef in there explaining how to handle chocolate. So it's not just to go in there and stuff yourself full of chocolate. You're actually going to learn about chocolate while you're in the lounge.
And can members of the public just show up at the Marriott and go check out the Chocolate Lounge?
Well, you would go to on-site registration, mm-hmm. and see about getting a day pass. We have a lot of people, even this morning, as early as 6:30 this morning, asking me about, you know, how to get a day pass, how to be part of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people, and they will be going to that Chocolate Lounge.
Well, Tom, let's talk about this for a moment. I have this vision when I hear the phrase Chocolate Lounge of, you know, great vats of chocolate being poured slowly, maybe a fountain of it dipping into a big pan below. Am I seeing that right?
No, not really. You're not seeing that. But what you're seeing is all different types of candies and cakes and cookies and anything you could imagine. Fruits dipped in chocolate,
yeah,
or made with chocolate. I spend every chance I get there.
Yeah. So, you have other presentations being made this year that again, members of the public can come take part in?
Sure. Any of our presentations.
Again, what might be of interest?
Well, we have a lot locally. We have a lot of barbecue. Believe it or not, here in Kansas City, we have a lot of barbecue chefs. I mean, they're traditional chefs, but they are educators of the queue, as we call it. We have one chef, especially, that's what he goes by, the educator of the queue. But we have not only barbecue, we have how to market your business. We have social media, which we all know is important, social media. We have all kinds of classes that we're going to be able to go to, seminars. We have tours happening today, a beef tour. We have Vitacraft, which is a local, really high-quality pan corporation over, mm-hmm. in Shawnee. And they're all giving tours today. I mean, they're just – if you're a foodie, if you're a chef, if you just want to be involved, our convention's it. It's the place to be.
Well, the American Culinary Federation's national convention takes place now through Tuesday at the downtown Marriott. You can find a link to the event on the up-to-date page at kcur.org, and you'll be able to go and get all kinds of more information about this big convention. Tom Macrina, national president of the ACF, Mark Webster, president of the ACF, Greater Kansas City Chefs Association. You guys have been great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Have a great convention,
Thank
guys.
You. Thank you. Come down and try the chocolate lounge.
I think I'm coming.
There you go. Yeah.